Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Oh my goodness, we're back. Hello, hello, hello. It's a brand new episode of Oldie But A Goodie. After a week off, we're back talking about Flash Gordon from 1980. Now, because this episode was meant to come out last week when we originally recorded it, but had to be pushed back due to Comedy Festival being a very busy time, something I gotta get out of the way. And that thing that's out of the way is, we don't mention it in the episode, but out on Wednesday, there's a brand new bonus episode for you on patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodiepod. Now, as you heard last week with our Star Slammer episode, Patreon episodes are wild. We talk about some stuff on that we wouldn't do on the main show, partly because there's not as much content in the movie themselves, but also they're just a little bit weird and wacky. No one's heard of them. We do some deep cuts that wouldn't quite make a good main show episode, and that's exactly what we've done for this month's bonus episode over on Patreon, because we're talking about a movie that I don't think many people know exists, and those that do know that it exists hate it. Like Zach and I, we hate it, and it's called S Darko. It is the sequel to Donnie Darko, which we reviewed about a year and a half ago. We're doing the sequel that no one knows exists, that is awful, over on patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodiepod. You can get that bonus episode on Wednesday, plus access to the entire back catalogue of bonus episodes as well. Speaking of bad movies, we did Madam Web, as you've probably been hearing that promo for the last couple weeks. But anyway, here we go. It's our episode on Flash Gordon from 1980. Make sure you check out our Flash Gordon episode from last year if you haven't heard it yet. We did the mini-series, the serial from the 1930s. I believe it was the 30s or the 40s. We did that last year. If you haven't heard that, we do reference it a lot in this episode. So make sure to go back to episodes last year, find Flash Gordon. Just search Oldie But A Goodie Flash Gordon. You'll probably be able to find that episode. It's a lot of fun. But here it is. Flash Gordon from 1980 with Reese Pardon. Enjoy.
Imagine a year where a comic book character comes to the live-action screen with a sequel bait ending.
Oh, Zach, are we talking about Madam Web again?
No! This time we're talking about Flash Gordon.
Oh, what year is that?
The year is 1980.
Oh my god, how is the teleporting getting worse every time? I feel like I've already said that. Man, things are getting repetitive.
Eh, mamma mia, what is this? You land right in the middle of my set.
Speaking of repetitive, I appear to be in the desert again. Who are you? Sorry?
I'm producer Dino De Laurentiis. You're on my set for four movies I'm filming at the same time. Mamma mia, I'm Italian, Jesus. The producer in Hollywood.
I feel offended, but I'm not sure why. I'm so sorry about your set, sir. Let me, where is the exit? How do I get out of here?
There is no exit.
Oh my god.
I've hired this entire desert, and I'm going to film every movie I produce in this one desert.
In this entire... So you're offended that I have appeared in the desert?
Mamma mia, how dare you show up here? I'm meant to be filming Conan, Conan 2, Dune, Flash Gordon, King Kong.
Yep. Keep going.
A bunch of other movies that I produced. Army of Darkness. We produced them all right here.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. I'm like on the Hollywood desert, the one that you see everywhere. That's crazy.
Oh, Mamma Mia, you're wearing a hat.
Yes, that is... I do wear those occasionally.
I'm going to put that hat in every movie I do.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I'll reuse all the same sets in every movie I do.
Just get an original thought, my guy. Oh, my God. I got to leave before I'm a recurring character.
Oh, no, Zach, don't leave. It was me the whole time.
Oh, it was you, Sandro.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what? That makes sense, how offensive all of that was.
Yeah, I'm vaguely Italian. I can do it.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, but who's that right there in the distance?
I assume that was George Clooney or something, you know.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, hey!
Hey!
Reese, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you?
It's well, I'm in a coma at the moment and dreaming up this, like, nightmare-fuelish existence that we live in currently.
Am I a dream?
Yeah, you are a bit of a dream at the moment.
There's no such thing as comas. You're fine. You're not.
He's a dream denier.
It's just a coma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Reese Pardon's here, and that must mean we're talking about a movie.
It's true.
Because we are.
That's what we do normally.
And it's Flash Gordon.
Whoa! Savior of the universe! Boom, boom! Needless to say, the music was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to do non-spoilers, then spoilers. We've already talked about this. We did the serial from the 30s.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're just basically going to be updating our opinion on that based on new technology that they have at hand in this movie.
Well, unlike you, I can actually compare it to all of the series and talk about what they cut out, you know, to put in here.
Ooh, that's commitment.
Which was two kingdoms. That was about it.
Yeah, but there was no dolphin men. Where were the dolphin men?
Yeah, that's one of them. The dolphin men and the weird lion men.
Oh, yeah, the lion men.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, crab dragon or any other random creatures.
No, they kind of cut out those, which I will miss. Only the fight with the octopus. That was the only bit I missed. Which he kind of did. He had that weird plant monster.
Yeah.
But he didn't really fight that. He just got Sarlacc pitted for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he fought that weird monster with Peter Pan. Sorry, Timothy Dalton.
Yeah. I was thinking that. Did he play Peter Pan or Captain Hook? Because I feel like he could do both.
He could. In the same film.
Yeah, in the same film. Absolutely.
But yeah, because we're basically talking about a movie again that we've already kind of done, we were like, we'll bring in someone who hasn't seen anything Flash Gordon related, but I'm sure knows the world of Flash Gordon, has heard the name mentioned in passing many times.
I've heard the song many times because I had Queen's Greatest Hits Part 2.
That's right, Part 2.
Or Volume 2 or whatever it is, yeah.
It's Reese Parton back again.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Pretty surprising connection. I didn't expect Timothy Dalton to be in this, but he was Bond, and you did one of his Bond movies.
I did.
There's a connection.
Boom.
Boom.
Everything's connected.
There's a theme to me appearing on this podcast.
Yeah.
Exactly. But we are going to talk about the movie without any spoilers. Reese, let's start with you. What did you think of Flash Gordon 1980?
I could see why it's such a pop culture icon.
Mm.
Even though elements of it are problematic, it had all the light and adventure and fun of something like your Star Warses. And I think it also had, actually, as I was watching it, because I've not long since seen Dune, I thought it had a very similar setup, but then so does Star Wars, and then so do so many other political things, so does Game of Thrones and all of that, because it's kingdoms fighting each other, etc., etc. But it had more of the fantastical and a superhero element, obviously being based on a comic book. So it's really interesting how so many different films can have very similar plots but choose completely different interpretations of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like interpreting your main character as just a football player. That's what they're a quarterback, and we're going to use that for a bit.
That's better than what he was in the miniseries. I think he was just a guy. Or wasn't he a lab assistant? I don't remember.
The funny thing is they lead into that at the start and then kind of ignore it later on, which is fine. I'm fine with that because he actually does some like smart things later. And I was like, ooh, he actually is kind of smart and not just a himbo, you know?
You sure?
He Anyway, we'll get there. No spoilers.
You saw that hairstyle and jawline, didn't you?
Yeah. Look, we've definitely got himbo energy. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm guessing that you enjoyed this one, Zach.
I did. I enjoyed this a lot. I especially enjoyed hearing the movie lines that are in the Queen's Flash song.
Yes.
Mm. The random lines, whatever they said it, I went, whoa, that's the line. That's the line in the song that I've heard 1,000 times.
Did you wonder where the other 14 episodes went while you were watching it?
No, I was thankful that I didn't have to watch 4 hours of it, that's for sure. But I was like, the whole time watching it, I was looking for bits that were cut out. Like, it's like, okay, how are they going to do this without putting them in a dungeon to fight some weird dragon monster thing, you know, to escape, right? Like, well, what are they doing here? Oh, they just leave. There is no dragon monster thing. There was a lot less giant monster fighting in this movie.
There was a lot less giant monster fighting. Well, that's probably because, I mean, this movie wasn't cheap, but it was produced by Dino De Laurentiis, so technically it was very cheap.
The monsters were the people.
The monsters were the people we met along the way.
Yeah.
And all the reused sets.
I thought the sets were pretty cool, though. Everything looked pretty great.
This is going to sound so harsh, but some of the sets in the grand halls that they had looked so much better than the volume which modern films use.
Mm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because they're actually there.
Oh, yeah. The details, like the giant heads of Ming in the background that get graffitied at the end of the movie. I don't want to spoil I'm trying not to spoil anything, but like the detail was very cool. And I saw that and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I quite liked all the sets. I think they looked really good. The effects were pretty good too. I liked that you could see the strings. That always adds to it for me. But all the flying around was pretty fun.
With a film with this tone, sometimes it's like, was that deliberate or not? Whereas it probably wasn't. That's the best that they could achieve with the technology they had at the time or the time that they had, but it was good.
Yeah, there's heaps of like random like behind the scenes facts about this where I'm like, I don't know if it's meant to be cheesy on purpose. I'm pretty sure it is, but yeah. I liked a lot of the sets. The costumes were very funny, especially because they're pretty much all just taken from Barbarella, which is Dino De Laurentiis' previous movie. Pretty much all of the armor is just taken straight from that. So I'm like, oh, that's why it looks kind of BDSM star space leather vibes.
Speaking of BDSM, this movie was very horny. I forgot I forgot how horny the 80s were, really.
Yeah.
This is the best movie to start the 80s with, I think. Yeah. Because this is pretty much what we remember from the 80s.
We went from 79 and it's like, oh, that's good. And then as soon as we step into the 80s, everyone's suddenly super horny. And I was like, oh, fucking goddammit, what the fuck?
I bet there were people who were kids in the late 60s, early 70s watching films, and then they got to the age of making films. It's like, yeah, let's do it. God, I want to screw someone.
Yep, well, that's it. That's it. So I also liked the costume designs. I thought they were very good, but some of them were a little lacking in anything else, you know?
Yeah, but I think they were pretty good, and I think they're also pretty close to the serial, particularly the Hawkmen. They were pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah,
except
yeah.
without all the Nazi salutes, obviously.
Yeah, That's true. I forgot about that. I did like the guy's mask, the skull mask guy.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Dr. Doom?
Yeah, the Dr. Doom. Yeah.
With a very proper British accent.
Well, the story behind this is really interesting because originally in the 70s, George Lucas was trying to get the rights to make a Flash Gordon movie, but he couldn't, which is why he ended up making Star Wars, because he was like, well, I want to do a sci-fi anyway, so, you know, I'm going to make Star Wars. And
thank God.
Star Wars is... It's less of a ripoff of Flash Gordon and more a ripoff of, like...
Dune.
yeah.
Again, like, Hidden Fortress, Dune, yeah. So, like, he kind of, like, went in a different direction. He didn't really keep the Flash Gordon stuff going exactly, but, you know, just look at Luke and then look at Flash Gordon. You know, you can...
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They have the exact same, like, haircut sort of thing, right?
They do.
Am I crazy, or does every main character have to have that haircut specifically?
It was the 80s.
Yeah.
It's true. It was the same... was it last episode with the black hole? Yeah.
Yeah.
The lieutenant, exact same look.
Yeah, I just want one movie where someone has a mullet, right? You know, like, bring it on.
I don't. we've had enough mullets in the world, thank you.
That's fair. That's understandable. That's an understandable stance to take.
However, though, this movie was then made in the 80s, so this movie is trying to capitalize on Star Wars making these movies popular.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting that George Lucas was gonna make this. He didn't make it. So then he made the movie that made this movie possible. Which is great. And I love all of the random sci-fi ripoffs we get in the 80s that are just trying to cash in on Star Wars. It's always good.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the better ones.
The sci-fi boom.
Instead, Dino De Laurentiis, if you don't know him, yeah, he's an Italian producer. He just produces heaps of, like, cheap sci-fi and action stuff that all seems to be set in the desert most of the time.
Yeah.
He was trying to revive the Flintstones at some point. I remember his name from that as well.
Look, when you have, like, part of your backyard that's just desert, you're going to use it, Sandro. It's like, well, it might as well. I got a lot of sand out there. Might as well use some of it.
I love it, though. I love his movies because he takes, like, an Italian approach to making American movies. And by that, I mean everyone's dubbed over, which is very funny.
That's what I commented to you while I was watching it. Because I listened to this with my headphones on, and they're studio-grade headphones. And my goodness, can you hear the audio?
Well, that's partly because the actor who plays Flash Gordon, Sam J. Jones, who is a football player, not necessarily an actor.
That explains it.
But that was the case with the original Flash Gordon as well. Like, he's played by a sports guy usually.
But they didn't go, "I'm a quarterback. All right, here's a scene where I play football with some guards."
You know what? That's a good point.
Like, I was wondering the reason why, but continue.
But yeah, he had a bit of a feud with Dino De Laurentiis, which then meant that he did not return for post-production. So he is instead dubbed over by Peter Marinker. For a lot of the scenes where he had to do some ADR. Wasn't done by him, was done by another actor.
Huh, there you go.
And then because he left the project as well, he basically got barely any work after this. But he is in the Ted movies, so that's a plus, I guess.
He is. I was going to say that the only time I've ever seen him was in Ted, where they do a tribute to this.
But Zach, we can't talk about Flash Gordon without talking about one big question that always comes up when we seem to watch one of these movies, and that question is, how racist is this one?
Not as racist as the earlier one?
I mean, when the earlier one includes Nazi salutes, it's very hard to get more racist than that, let's be honest.
Yeah. We did have the bad guy at one point, spoiler, like, Dr. Doom sees Hitler and goes, "Oh, now that's a guy with ideas." And it's like, oh my god, I cringed so hard.
And we've got the same trope for Ming the Merciless.
Yeah,
Ming the Merciless is still... just the Fu Manchu vibes,
yeah.
And played by a white guy, obviously being the biggest problem there.
Yeah, but at least they didn't, like, lean into it or anything, I don't know. Like, it didn't seem like a prevalent thing.
Yeah, he wasn't doing the voice. In the serial, it felt like he was kind of doing the voice a little bit, which was like, ugh.
They kind of avoided that in Star Wars by making the Emperor screwed up in the face and be descended from aliens almost.
Yeah.
Like, he looks so wrinkly because of what happened to him in episode 3.
Descended from a raisin, I think, is what you were trying to say. Yeah. I didn't feel bad watching it, you know what I mean? Like, sure, it's not great. I would rather him not be called Ming and have the Fu Manchu sort of, like, vibe.
Yeah, that's how I felt, because... you know, it's Hollywood, which is filled with straight, white, older-ish men. They're probably younger at the time, but they're older now because they're still around.
Oh, yeah.
they had all the influence, and the female characters are love interests or wearing a lot of leather, BDSM kind of clothing. So there's problematic stuff with racial depictions to a degree. I mean, they don't, like you said, they don't state that Ming he's meant to be an alien anyway. He's not meant to be Chinese or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the women don't have much to do. And very classic Doctor Who style, he meets the woman on the plane and then they're in love at the end of the at the end of the movie and they've known each other for a few hours.
Yep.
So
Oh my god. When they were like, "Oh, let's get married." I was like, "What the fuck? You barely known each other for half an hour."
That's like classic Doctor Who. In the first episode of a serial, when a companion's going to leave, they hold hands with a strange man, and then by the end of it she says, "I can't travel with you anymore, Doctor. I'm spending my life with this wonderful man."
Yeah.
What's his name? I don't know.
That is how every companion left in the 60s. 70s.
Yeah,
it's true.
I feel like the love story element of it, because I can't tell what's meant to be bad on purpose and a joke.
Yes.
And what is meant to be serious. Because apparently the guy who wrote this didn't want this movie to be as silly, but De Laurentiis wanted this to be as silly as possible. So I don't know what, like, where the line is, what parts are actually silly, what parts are accidentally silly, but that scene in particular where Flash is like, "You're gonna have my babies," and then she's like, "Oh my god, we're in love."
Yeah. Yeah.
That scene in particular, I was like, this can't be serious. This has to be tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. That's so funny.
See, I agree with Dino on this one because it is similar to something like Star Wars or Dune, like we said. And they're so earnest and they're good for being earnest. But this, it feels like it's got its tongue so firmly in its cheek. It's wonderful.
Mm. Yeah. I think it was a good move to make this silly. You can't make Flash Gordon serious.
No.
It's a footballer saves the day from an alien invasion.
Yeah. It's just some random dude.
Even Zack Snyder directing this couldn't make it serious.
Yeah.
But he could make it look like shit.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
He could turn the lights off.
Yeah.
He could film it in black. Sorry, he could post-production it to black and white.
But anyway, yeah, I feel like the depiction of the female characters in this are definitely worse than the potential racism. But the potential racism is also...
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was more uncomfortable at the sexual nature of it than the racist content of it.
Most women are either love interests for Flash or concubines for Ming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or both.
Or both, yeah, because they're trying to make her... Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all dressed up in the same, like... Pretty much just directly ripped from Barbarella, the same outfit. Even the Hawk women who have the same outfit, but they have wings. I'm like, what are the rules here? What's going on?
It's the style, Sandro, you know? You got to get with the fashion. The fashion is just not wearing anything, apparently.
We should be more liberated in the future, actually. No one should be wearing anything.
It's true, it's true, it's true.
Absolutely.
Unless it's cold.
And we've also got the soundtrack by Queen. Oh, yeah. My God. The soundtrack by Queen. Yeah.
It's actually so good.
It's so good, and it's not distracting at all.
Oh, it's very distracting.
Every time the music starts playing, I'm not like, hell yeah, Queen time.
But that's the whole point.
No, I'm like, hell yeah, Queen.
Yeah.
I'm like, I will agree that it is distracting, but in a good way, I'd say, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this banger soundtrack. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's fucking go. Come on, Flash.
And then when you hear the lines from the that you hear in the song on the album, it's like, oh, my God, there it is. We've only got 20 minutes to save the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
It is so good. I love, Flash's theme, which isn't really a song. It's just like a bunch of stings.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, that's the whole song. It's great. It's so good.
Yeah.
And just all of the... I think my favorite was probably that like random rock song that plays near the end.
Flash!
But yeah, it is fantastic. And it's so lucky that they managed to get Queen, because I think this was right before they became mainstream. They were still kind of like, they were popular at this point, but they weren't Queen as we know them. Whereas directly after this, they then became, Queen.
Yeah.
So
they went from like popular band to like Beatles, like, it's like worldwide sensation sort of thing.
Yeah. I think because like Bohemian Rhapsody and the album that has like We Are the Champions and stuff, that was all out at this point. But I think it was another one, Bites the Dust, was their biggest song. That's the song that really put them all over the radio and stuff. And that came out the same year as this movie.
I just had a flashback to when I was a kid and some of my friends hadn't heard of Queen yet, and I said, "Oh, it's they're my favorite," because they were my favorite for a long time. And my favorite song is Bohemian Rhapsody, and it's actually playing. We were in a mall at the time. It's playing on the speakers right now. Listen to this. And it was just at the thunderbolt of lightning, very, very frightening me. And it was a lot of fun.
That's funny. That's great.
But anyway, I guess that we should jump into some spoilers in a second. Yeah. Is there anything else on spoiler ready to mention? I don't think so.
No. I mean, yeah, it's problematic at points, but I had a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say it's a lot less problematic than the 4-hour reel that I watched. So I'm going to give this a thumbs up. Good work. Slightly less racist. Thumbs up. So yeah, goodie from me.
It's a goodie from Zach. I'll give it a goodie as well. I really enjoyed this. I just like these sort of sci-fi movies where they're just kind of bad and fun. That's good.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you can't tell
if
it's deliberately bad or not. That's what I love about it.
I
give it a goodie too. I didn't officially say that, but I give it a goodie.
Three goodies for Flash Gordon. To save the universe. To save the whole universe. Taglines. This is a bunch of taglines. Could give them thumbs up, thumbs down to the taglines, because we're in the 80s, which means that we get more taglines.
They can't be as bad as the Living Daylights ones. My God.
They were terrible.
We'll see.
The first tagline is, the greatest American hero of all time. It's not accurate at all, actually.
Yeah.
It's not accurate. And also, that doesn't mean much anyway.
The greatest of all time, like for the future and everything. Yeah.
Have they got a time machine? Did they go to the end of time and read history books in the future?
Yeah, like Flash Gordon isn't even... He doesn't do anything for America. He does it for Earth.
Well, America is the world, Sandro. So he saves America. Yeah.
I think Superman is more of an American hero, and he's not even human.
No.
Although
he's a refugee journalist that billionaires hate.
It's true. Remember, Sandro, Earth is just one big desert.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Outside of New York, it's a desert.
Yeah.
There were so many times in this movie where I was like, ah, yes, you can tell that this is the producer of Conan.
True.
But I was also like, this looks like that He-Man movie that we did on the podcast, but those are different producers. That was Cannon Group. That wasn't De Laurentiis, which, you know, fascinating. Maybe they borrowed some stuff from each other. Who knows? All right, our next tagline is, he'll save every one of us, every single one. He's gonna save him.
I give it a thumbs up only because it reminds me of the song.
Yeah. It's just a quote for the song.
It's just a lyric,
but it's a good quote.
He'll save every one of us.
Next tagline: get ready to kick some Flash.
What?
Wait, we're gonna fight Flash?
No, we're gonna kick some Flash.
What? Like Flash the superhero? Like Flash Gordon's gonna fight Flash?
I think they're saying we're going to kick some ass.
Oh, right.
So they're saying Flash.
No.
You know, after you've explained the joke to me, Sandro, I feel a lot better about this one. And I'm going to give it a thumbs down.
Yes, me too.
There's so many taglines. For years, he's been the last word in professional football. Now, he's Earth's only chance for a future.
That's too long for a tagline.
Fucking... what is their obsession with fucking football? Fucking hell, that's so funny. Thumbs down, I think.
Because that's modern American culture, that's why.
Very funny, though.
This one, speaking of long, Jesus Christ. Okay. Just a man with a man's courage. You know, he's nothing but a man. He can never fail no one, but the pure at heart can find the Holy Grail. I don't even think this is an actual...
What?
I think this is just someone randomly put something on IMDb.
Were they trying to insert a rap verse into the song?
Maybe. Apparently.
Try and read it like it's a rap verse.
Yeah, rap it out.
Just a man with a man's courage. I'm just Flash Gordon, and I'm here to say that's not an actual tagline. I think that's just someone randomly put something into IMDb and it stayed there.
He's just a man, though.
He's just a man. All right, the actual final tagline is, pathetic earthlings, who can save you now? And that's the one that's on the poster.
Ooh.
I like it. Thumbs up.
I'm gonna give that a thumbs up. Yeah. That's actually a great tagline, because it's like, who can't save it?
Because if you do it at the top of the poster, then you have the logo. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I like That's actually a good tagline. There you go.
Oh, the guy who wrote this wrote a lot of the Batman TV show. That makes sense.
Oh, there you go.
And someone wanted it to be serious. Are you kidding me?
I think he wanted it to be serious.
Yeah.
I'm tired of writing jokes, okay, guys?
Hi, real-life American Sally McSella here, and here's a fact you might not know about me. I freaking love the MCU. I love Marvel. I do. It's true. Now, you might say, well, then you're a Marvel shill. They ain't good anymore. But here's what I gotta tell you. I might shill for oldie but a goodie, but I don't shill for Marvel. I genuinely love every film that they've ever put out. And that's why I'm keen as heck for Sandro and Zach to talk about Madam Web. Here's a clip.
He has a Spider-Man suit because there's an Amazonian rainforest in Peru, Zach. I don't know if what? You knew that.
I had no idea. I thought this movie just made that up for this movie.
And there's a bunch of Spider-Men in the rainforest who have magic spider powers, and they all have Spider-Man suits.
Whoa! Except they're made out of, like, rainforest material.
This has to take place in the MCU.
That's true, and Tom Holland, we never see his intro, right?
We never see his origin story.
We're just kind of pushed into him being...
It's true. But Zach, Spider-Man's suit that Peter Parker makes, it's a very kind of thrown together hoodie, pants sort of thing, but it's very much not a Spider-Man suit. Who makes that Spider-Man suit? Tony Stark makes the Spider-Man
suit. He does.
But apparently he didn't, because he just stole it off the spider people who were already having Spider-Man suits.
I appear to have fucked up a little bit. It turns out that Madam Web's not an MCU movie. It's a Sony movie, and therefore I don't have to shill for it. I mean, therefore, I don't love this one. It's bad, actually. But you know what's good? Sandro and Zach talking about it at patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod. You can also get early episodes of the main show without any ads, so you don't have to hear this promo ever again. If you go there, link in the episode description, and get that bonus episode of Madam Web right now.
All right, let's do spoilers. We're going to spoil this movie. Get ready for spoilers. We're spoiling it. I really liked how the movie opened with the Universal logo that then seamlessly transitions to Ming being like, that's Earth.
Oh, yeah. Earth, lol. Tornadoes, earthquakes, fuck them. Am I right? Are we getting attacked by Ming right now, or is it global warming? Who knows? Like,
it's his slow burn plan.
Exactly.
These Ming deniers out here, you know.
Ming deniers. Well, yeah, like, his plan is so weird. He's like, I play with planets, and if they don't notice me, then that means that they're dumb and they can live. But if they do notice me, then they're dangerous.
I feel like Sandro, he was just kind of being a dick to this one random scientist just for kicks. I feel like whatever he does, he just kind of does for kicks, and he doesn't really care at all. Because he's so all-powerful at this stage, you just kind of do what you want to have fun.
Yeah.
First off, you torture planets, because that's fun. And then the scientist comes here because he wants to save his planet. He's like, hey, I'm going to kill your planet. Not because it's a planet or whatever, just because you came to save it. Get fucked, idiot. That sounds like something an evil guy would do, just to fuck with a guy.
That definitely checks out. But he has a bunch of buttons that'll do a bunch of things, and one of them is hot hail, which is my favorite. Hot hail.
It did look pretty cool, actually.
It did.
Yeah.
They just chucked some hot rocks at people. It was good fun.
But who's going to save us?
Who's going to save us? Oh, my goodness.
Every one of us.
It's going to be Flash Gordon, who randomly stalks some girl on a plane.
I did like the intro. They had the comic book thing.
Yeah.
And this is how many years before Marvel? They had the whole, like, comic book things, like, flashing on screen. And I was like, oh, Flash!
Oh.
I don't think Marvel had a single good movie before Spider-Man in the early 2000s. Whoa. Although, I from memory, Superman the motion picture opens with someone reading a comic.
Yeah.
So they may have taken the idea from there.
Yeah. But the like, flashing the comic panels on screen, you know, as the intro played. I was like, oh, hey, wow, that's actually really cool, you know?
It was pretty good. It was really good, yeah. pretty good opening thing. Oh yeah, and the way that like the credits flash on screen was very funny as well. There were so many like names that showed up where I was like, wait, what? Timothy Dalton's in this? Mm. Just like small stuff like that. Brian Blessed's in this? What?
That's what I know him from the most, like, in terms of pop culture. Gordon's alive!
Yeah, that's it. He was great.
Except he doesn't say it that loudly. Everyone just remembers him saying it that loudly.
Well, I feel like he just has a presence in general.
He does.
Is loud, you know. He has a loud presence, and it's great.
He's good, and he's pretty much exactly what the Hawk leader was in the serial as well. He doesn't laugh as much, but he laughs a pretty perfect amount, I reckon.
I'd say he laughs. He is also kind of, both him and the prince kind of have the like lion's qualities as well.
Oh yeah.
Like he's a bit like combatty, like the lion, whereas the prince has the whole like plot line of the lion-ish, you know? So I saw that. I was like, because that character's cut out. They've kind of split their arcs to these other two characters, which I thought was pretty good.
Anyway, Flash Gordon, he gets on a random private jet, and there's a random travel agent on the private jet, and he's like, ay, and she's like, ay. But then random red clouds appear, and...
No, red flags, Sandra. They're red flags.
I love that she's, like, nervous about flying, and that's never really brought up again, but he's, like, he's tried to explain, oh, no, this is a normal phenomenon, you know, we'll get above the clouds, it'll be fine. And then everything turns red, and it's like, well, maybe not, maybe, I guess. No. Maybe we're fucked.
I can't remember the exact line, but you said, please talk to me to get my mind off it. He says, it's going to be okay. She goes, you'll just say that to get my mind off it. Well, yeah.
That's kind of what you asked for.
Well, he calls her, like, pretty as well. He starts immediately hitting on her, and I was like, oh, yeah, all right, Gordon.
Yeah, again, horny 80s movie.
Yeah, get your riz on, my guy. Let's go.
So she's played by Melody Anderson, who, I'm having a look here, seems to mainly just be a TV actor who then went to a soap opera in the 90s, hasn't done a whole lot. She's fine. I think all the acting in this is fine, but she was, she's fine. She does stuff. But I love the part where the hot hail is coming through, the pilots are dead, Flash...
What happened to the pilots? I blinked and they were just gone.
They just died. I don't know.
I got the impression, because their bodies weren't there, I got the impression that Ming's ship has some sort of teleporter and they just...
That's what I thought, maybe. But it's never, like, it's never explained through the rest of the movie. That's what I was going to go with, right?
Yeah.
But then they do have smash windows, so my theory was they, like, hit a hot piece of hail and it, like, momentum, they got shot out the window. Like, I don't know what happened. The fucking pilots just, the movie doesn't know what happened to the pilots.
Exactly.
Like, no one does.
But I loved the scene where the plane is crashing. Flash is like, Dale, you've got to help me hold the wheel up. We got to pull up. And she's like, I don't know what to do. This isn't my scene, Flash. I'm like, who cares if it's your scene? Your plane's going down. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But also, it literally is. Your name is on the script.
Yeah. No, look, this lady does not have a survival instinct, I think. She's just lacking one of those.
That's true.
But she's a New York girl, you know? It's really... it's not a scene. Speaking of scenes, I like the scene with the mad scientist guy. I like how he's just fucking... just literally a crazy person. He's just like, oh, I'm gonna shoot you if you don't fucking work with me.
I loved how his assistant was woken up as well. Yeah, it was hilarious.
So funny. Yeah, because Hans Zarkov in the serial, he's more of... just a guy. He's just a guy.
He's a philosopher kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm kind of above all of this, you know? I'm too smart for everyone. No one understands me, sort of like. Mm. And he's so smart that when they hop aboard, they're like, yes, you are smart. We can recognize your superior intelligence to these beings. You will become a scientist for us.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. You know, you will have to work for us. Whereas here, he's like, I'm a little bit insane. I'm going to kill people. And it's like, whoa.
He just pulls a gun just immediately on, like, everyone. And it's very fun. It's especially funny because he is, he's played by Topol, who was a pretty popular Israeli actor, most famously known for the lead role in Fiddler on the Roof. So it's like, like, he's a very well-respected, award-winning actor just doing whatever he wants in a Flash Gordon movie. It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's how I want to be one day.
Yeah. I felt bad for his like scientist buddy.
His assistant,
it's like,
yeah.
It was a great scene. It's like, don't you want to come with me and save the world? No! And then he just runs off.
I don't want to go towards the danger. It's a simple concept, mate.
Yeah. Did he die? Did he die in that scene when the plane crashed? I'm pretty sure he's dead.
I don't know.
He just got hit by a plane. Which is funny because it's not the only person who gets hit by a plane during this movie. Which is wild. Apparently, getting hit by a plane is like a more common death than I realized.
Well, if it's a Boeing plane, am I right?
Oh, no.
They crash the plane right into Zarkov's lab. I like how many times they're like, he was kicked out of NASA, and they give that as like a reason as to why he's a bit crazy. I thought that was very funny.
Well, yeah, finally I like a pro-science movie, because a lot of the times the scientists are disregarded, but the institution of NASA is held up as a sensible institution in this film.
Absolutely.
But he was kicked out of NASA.
I liked how he was like, hey, you want to use my phone? It's in this suspiciously rocket-shaped thing.
Also, don't ask me why I won't move my hands from behind my back.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with the gun that I'm currently holding.
I'm not suspicious at all. Would you like to use my phone? It's in this regular room.
Ignore that sound. It's not an engine powering up or anything. Not at all.
Yeah.
Just joking. It's actually a rocket, and I'm taking you to space. Oh my god, you're fighting me, and we've accidentally launched.
because I need a second person in this rocket ship for some reason.
To hold down a button. Because
to hold down a button. Yes. Now, I could use this piece of tape I have here, or I could take an entire other person to their almost guaranteed death fighting an advanced race.
Yeah, it's not like a nuclear arsenal where they've got two keys for two individual soldiers or anything like that.
Yeah. It felt a bit like that, but it was also very silly. I just felt he had made it like that so he'd have someone with him when he died.
Yeah.
He was like, I want to bring someone with me, you know?
Pretty much.
Or he thought at some point, I'm not going to be welcome on the entire planet anymore, let alone NASA. I just want someone with me.
Yeah, exactly. He just wanted someone to come with him. He didn't really need to make it a two-person sort of ship.
I wrote down a random note here saying, why is Flash wearing his own merch? Because he is. For the whole start of the movie, he's just wearing a t-shirt with Flash on it.
Well, he's a famous quarterback, Sandro.
That's true.
And, you know, if you've got merch, you want to rock that merch to sort of advertise it, you know.
I wear my own merch, but I wear it around the house because it's comfy.
Sandro, I'm wearing your merch right now, so...
Actually?
Yeah, but there's a reason why Sandro Falce doesn't have a song written by a band as big as Queen.
Because I don't wear my own merch.
You don't wear it out in public.
Yeah.
Sandro Falce.
Anyway, they go into the vortex and they land on in Mingo City. I don't know where or what. Because, like, is the planet, and this is something that I found confusing the entire time, the planet Mungo is where Ming is, and then there's different planets where, like, the Hawkmen are from, and, like, the Robin Hood men are from.
Yeah.
They're all different planets, but are they a part of the same planet? Are they small moons? What's going on here? Do they all share the same atmosphere? Because everyone can just breathe when they fly in between planets, apparently.
Yeah, because they got the force field thing that protects them. But also, I think they are like moons or like moons of this, but they are planets in their own right. Possibly like planets that they've just literally moved into orbit of Mongo.
Or maybe Ming found Mongo intact and did what he did to the Earth on it, it's separated and there are colonies on those bits of it.
That makes sense. They do refer to them as like planets, though, which is very weird.
Yeah.
So it is a little confusing. I'll give you that, Sandra.
Yeah.
I liked that already the like sort of influences of Star Wars was there because they scan the like ship as it approaches and they're like, scan for life forms and other things, you know. Let it land, you know. Which is kind of the opposite of Star Wars, where they scan it and they don't see life forms in it, you know.
Yes, that's true, that's true, that's true.
It's an old code, sir, but it checks out.
Exactly.
But I really liked the way that space is portrayed in this. It's kind of like watercolor, kind of like paint stuff.
Well, that's why I get the impression they're in the same system, at least, because the sky is pretty consistently that texture.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. But anyway, they land, a bunch of robot men or something come out.
Robot pig creatures? Because when they get injured later on, they go, "Rah!" or whatever, they make a really weird noise.
They are Jabba's guards.
Yeah.
They make the exact same sound as those ones.
That's right.
Which I found was very funny. I was actually looking it up right now to see which movie came out first?
Also, the golden armor-wearing creatures that escort them, they look like a whole lot of Goldar from Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
The small people as well who play the slaves, I guess? I don't know. They looked like a mixture between, like, Teletubbies and, like, some sort of, like, Star Wars thing as well. I was like, this is really interesting.
I'm glad they weren't permeated throughout the film. I saw them, I was like, oh, this could be bad.
Well, one of them was played by Kenny Baker, who's R2-D2, so, you know.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
The little floating ball was like the, you know, the gag in episode 6, Return of the Jedi from Star Wars, where that thing pokes out and goes,
and talks to Luke,
and then it goes back into the wall. It reminded me of that. It served the same purpose.
Yeah.
Well, I think 1980, Empire Strikes Back came out this year, I think, so George Lucas probably took a bunch of stuff from this movie and put it in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, who's copying who now, you know? It's like, yeah.
But that film looks so much better made.
That's true.
They had the budget by then in Star Wars, though.
Wait, Star Wars made money?
What?
That's news to me. Anyway, they get to the, like, main palace courtyard or whatever, and we've got, like, all the factions sort of there.
Halt! Lizard Man!
Oh, no.
Yes.
Where does this Lizard Man come from? What is he doing here? Like, do we see him? Oh, we only see them in, like, two other scenes where they're just in jail for some reason.
Also, the design of the Lizard Man, their eyes and face are inside of their mouth. So are they men wearing lizard outfits, or is that just how the aliens look? I don't know.
Both.
No, that's how the aliens look. It makes sense that some creatures would evolve to have their face inside their mouth so they could hide their face if they needed to, right?
Yeah, when they're swimming, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it can swim a bit.
It makes perfect logical sense if you think about it, Sandra. I liked when he got vaporized and just disappeared, and it's like, there are stakes in this movie now.
And then I liked when Zarkov said, "Don't worry, I have a weapon." And then the little hovering ball goes down to about pocket height and shoots his pocket weapon. And disintegrates the gun.
That was good fun. I wrote down another random note here. I was kind of like thinking of like who to recast people as who looked similar. As soon as Emperor Ming was on screen, I went, Ben Kingsley, 100%. Get Ben Kingsley in here from Iron Man 3.
Just do the Mandalorian, the Mandarin again.
Yeah.
I mean, we did remake this before, right?
We did.
Yeah, and I think my one was I wanted to do the whole Doctor Strange, where they get the actress to play what's his face? What is he called?
Sorcerer Supreme?
Yeah, the Sorcerer Supreme, yeah. The like
well, the, ancient
the
one?
Old one, the ancient one, that's it. Yeah, the ancient one, who in the comics, I think, is the Asian stereotype, right? Yes. But they were just like, actually, it's an actress now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I watched it. I'm like, hey, she's really good.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
I had a similar train of thought, but actually used somebody whose name is Ming and cast Ming-Na Wen.
That's pretty good. Oh. I had a similar idea. I'll bring it up in a little later on. But yeah, that was kind of my joke one was Ben Kingsley played the Mandarin in Iron Man 3.
I mean, he almost does look like this in Iron Man 3.
He does.
It's true.
He does. But that would be racist, so we're not going to do that.
I like the way Marvel copped to that in Shang-Chi, frankly.
Yeah. That was very Deadpool-esque, you know, making fun of Green Lantern sort of thing. You know?
Being like, we probably shouldn't have done this.
This was bad.
Don't worry, it's part of the story that he was a pretend Mandarin. Don't worry.
Yeah, he's not the real one. We have retconned.
That would be culturally inappropriate, wouldn't it?
We have retconned it, so he is not the real one.
I mean, they did it in that movie, but then they said, bloody spoilers, Guy Pearce was as well.
Guy Pearce is the Mandarin. Oh my goodness. Anyway, we're introduced to all the factions and stuff. We're introduced to Princess Aura from the butt up classic introduction.
That's a good way of describing it. Yep.
Jonathan Frakes Thunderbirds movie. What? I had great. Sorry, tangent time. I know we don't have much time, but tangent time. I loved that film as a kid because a lot of that stuff went over my head and I had really good memories of it. I watched it again recently and my God, the problematic tropes are all over the place.
Yeah, I have not gone back to that Thunderbirds movie.
Don't. If you enjoy it in your mind, keep it in your mind.
Oh, dear.
We're introduced to all of the things. Ming is like, Dale, but he says Dale or something. No, not Dale.
Dale.
He pronounces it differently. Dale is Pitbull. He doesn't say
Dale.
He's not like Dale.
Mr. World Wild. Mr. Galaxy Wild.
Yeah. Mr. Galaxy Wild. It's going down. He's yelling hot hail.
That's my Ming actor. I want Pitbull to play. Yeah.
I think Pitbull actually is racist, so I think he would. Yeah. I think he would fit in pretty well.
I was trying to think of some way to make a character worse and more racist, and I figured it out. So we see factions. We see the Hawk men, which are pretty cool. We see the Lost Boys and the Prince, whatever his fucking name was.
Prince Baron. I just called him Baron. Timothy Dalton. We'll call him Prince Bond. Yeah. Let's call him Prince Bond.
Prince Bond, yes.
Prince Hook. And then there's some other kingdoms as well, but they are glossed over for the rest of the movie. But one of them dies. He's like, hey, you kind of fucking destroyed us. We don't have anything to give you but our loyalty. And he's like, oh, you're loyal, are you? Loyalty is what you give me. Well, how about you fucking stab yourself, idiot? Show me how loyal you are, idiot.
That is pretty much what he's like. It's true, yeah.
And then the guy's like, all right, I'll stab you.
You.
And then he immediately gets like frozen in time or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Ming stabs him.
At this point, this is where I knew how far it would go in terms of being problematic, because we'd already had the very quick getting the hots for Flash, and then we had obviously Ming, and then it was of course the kingdom of the black people that they chose to kill first.
And you've got some Oompa Loompas around right now, and I'm like, oh my god, this is bad. Oh god.
Yeah,
I was in full panic mode. If the rest of the movie was like this, we were doomed. We were fucked.
Thankfully, that doesn't stay the case, but yeah, at this part, definitely.
Thankfully, they just ignore all the diverse characters for the rest of the film. Thank God.
Look, to be fair, if you can't do them well, you may as well just write white.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, absolutely, which is what they do.
I did kind of like the guy who plays Ming. His name is Max von Sydow. Obviously, he shouldn't be playing Ming.
Yeah.
Is the main thing, but he is. And so we got to talk about the performance as it is. And you know what? I think he's pretty good, especially because, again, just like the guy who plays Zarkov, this is Father Merrin from The Exorcist. This is another award-winning actor just being dumb in the movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's very funny.
And he's all over the place in Hollywood. Like, he was a very good actor.
He was, yeah. And he's in heaps of Dino De Laurentiis stuff. He's in Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, okay.
He's in Dune. He plays Dr. Liet Kynes in the David Lynch version.
What's Dune? Can someone explain that to me?
It's Star Wars.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm with you now.
It's a month before July.
I think he was Blofeld as well.
Yeah.
One of the Bond films. He's in heaps of stuff.
Yeah, no, he's great. And last thing I saw him in that was current was Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, he was in Game of Thrones, wasn't he?
There you go.
He was at the start of Force Awakens as well. He's the one who's like, the plans got to give them to the droid. I'm dead.
Oh, is that the New Order or the First Order? Okay.
Sandro, you're not allowed to play movie clips on our podcast. You can't have the exact audio playing. We're going to get sued.
And so in this place, after there's that bizarre moment where he uses his ring to pleasure Dale?
I don't know.
It was like we see ass up shot of this lady and then this lady starts doing this. I'm like, oh no, this movie's gonna be really fucking horny, isn't it?
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, the original was horny, but horny for the 30s. This is horny from the 80s, and
yeah,
horny from the 80s is whew.
It is horny. He's like, oh, have you ever seen such a reaction? Oh my, yes.
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I want to leave. Ah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because he wants to reproduce with Dale so that he can have human alien kids on Earth. That's his reason for it. So I'm like, was he scanning her DNA? Is that what was going on?
Nope, I think he's just a horn dog and wants to fuck, Sandro. It's not really that deep. It's just like, what is his plans? What's his going on? He just wants to fuck, Sandro. He just wants to get his bang on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's had many wives beforehand. Literally, the priest is like, to you guys married together, you'll be there forever. And then Ming looks at him and he's like, unless you get weary of her, then you can ditch her, I guess.
Yep.
So I feel like this has happened before, Sandro.
Mm.
Where he just finds an alien race and he's like, you know what? This race is fuckable. I'm gonna fuck it. Let's do it.
Our parts are compatible? Cool.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, we also see, the Princess Aura, who, as we've already said, is introduced from the butt upwards.
Wearing Princess Leia's clothes from the Jabba's slave outfit sort of thing.
Another thing Lucas stole. There we go.
True.
Amazing. But the princess, she has on a leash, she's got a person called Fellini, and that is the actor who plays all the Oompa Loompas in Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
That's why I mentioned it, because I saw them and I was like, oh no, why is it on a chain? No.
He's also so teeny weeny in my favorite movie, Neverending Story.
Oh yeah, Neverending Story, which has nothing wrong with it, so it must be fun.
All right, there's a big fight where Flash Gordon fights a bunch of guards. It's
you
like
mean a football game.
A football game thing. That was really fun. I enjoyed that.
Because one of the tribes is giving like the tribute of giant eggs, which is very fitting for the day we're recording this. And then is it Dale? She says, quick, Flash, take this. And he catches it and goes, oh, yeah, I could defeat these guys by playing football.
Yeah, he is just a big jock, right? So giving him a football, like, activates his football instincts, which allows him to defeat the guards by playing football.
Playing football.
Which, to be fair, they don't know the rules of football. They don't know what's going on. So he's just barreling through them. I liked
Until Coach Dr. Doom says, gather around, fight him like this.
That was so funny, yeah.
4-4-4. Hot. I loved when they kind of, like, mid-fight lined up as a football thing, so he like charged through them, which was very appropriate. Like, if he is a quarterback, he would be able to charge through them like that.
That's true.
I liked that the Hawk guy is bumping people as well mid-fight when no one's watching.
Yes, and then he's going, oop, that wasn't me.
Oh, not me. Who hit that guard? Donk hits another one, you know.
Oh, yeah. So the Hawkmen, are the wings, is that like a natural thing that happens to them? Or are they like metal wings that they put on themselves? I just want to know.
They grow wings. They're Hawk They're aliens, Sandro.
They grow giant metal wings out their back. Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Why not?
It's just like X-Men Apocalypse. They have just the giant wings. Everyone's favorite movie.
Never bring that movie up ever again.
That's fair. I hated it. I hate it with a passion. I have not watched an X-Men movie since.
So, Prince Bond, Mr. Dalton, is like, Princess Aura, women meant to get married, but I'm channeling my inner Bond straight out the gate. I'm calling you a bitch immediately. I was like, Oh my god, I can see why Timothy Dalton got the role as Bond.
That's funny.
Because she's manipulating everyone. She's using her sexuality and she's manipulating all the men for about 20 minutes until she gets locked away.
Yeah. Which main character doesn't she kiss? I don't know. I can't remember.
They couldn't show her kissing Dale.
She's either all over someone or they're all over her. Those are the two.
Or they want to be. They're just ogling her.
Yeah. Because the only, like, male character that she doesn't kiss is the Dr. Doom character, which is horning over her.
That's true. Oh, well, she doesn't kiss her dad, which is Ming.
You know what? You know what?
I'm amazed they didn't cross that line.
Yeah. One, I'm amazed. Two, I'm glad.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And to be fair, I don't know how she would have kissed Dr. Doom.
Yeah. Mm.
Carefully.
And then Flash is sent to death.
Execution.
Daddy, I want the Flash. I want him now. And then he's like, no, I'm going to kill him. Fuck you. It's like, oh, okay.
They put him in a gas chamber. And then this was the most awkward moment of the movie. As soon as the gas starts coming out, we then get like a random like needle drop rocks thing. As he's dying, and I was very confused. I was like, wait, what?
I've got 2 points here. One, Ming, good dad. He doesn't give his princess whatever she wants. He's like, you know what? I have to set some boundaries. No, this one's too dangerous. You can't have it. So I'm saying, Ming, great dad. Second off, I like the fact that, you know, several characters have already died in the scene, you know, the prince, whatever. They didn't have a grand execution. This random Earth guy, though, the main character, he gets a 20-minute long fucking execution.
He gets to wear underwear, leather underwear.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's vital for executions.
I suppose it's easier to clean if they get too scared afterwards.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It makes sense that they have to take off all his clothes so you can see his bulging muscles.
Exactly.
It's in lore. It's in canon.
Yeah. Man, why didn't Arnie play Flash Gordon? That would have been good.
Yeah.
Man, that would have been a good time. I don't think he was famous yet. I think this is just before. Well, yeah, it's before Conan, and that was his big breakout.
I can't think of any famous Flash lines that he said, but it's just like, Flash... Ah,
that's great.
That would have been good. So Flash Gordon, he dies, but then he's revived by Aura, and then she takes him to meet Timothy Dalton. The way that they get there. Okay.
Oh, so sorry. No, I loved his tombstone when they thought he was dead.
Oh yeah, he gets a random tombstone.
It's his logo from his fist.
So the like prince of this land over here gets stabbed to death. Everyone's like, whatever, you know, that one random lizard folk gets vaporized.
Yeah.
Like whatever. But this random earthling, he's gonna have a gravestone engraved and everything for this one fucking scene.
Yeah. And they do it in the style of his logo back on Earth.
Yeah, that was so random. I did laugh at that, actually.
It's very funny.
We have a random scene where he's having a telepathic conversation with Dale right fucking
hell. Oh, Jesus.
Right before. So Dale is in the waiting room to get assaulted by Ming.
Ugh.
And then one of Ming's concubines is like, here, have this alcoholic drink. It'll make you pass out.
So you can bang. It's like, that's pretty bad, but it's getting worse. Because Flash is now psychically linking with her to, like, communicate with her while the princess is trying to bang him.
Just kissing his neck and getting really horny on him. And then he says, oh my god, this woman's really turning me on. Huh? What's that, Flash? Oh, don't worry about it. It wasn't about you.
This movie is so fucking horny. Oh my god.
That was so funny. And then Dale gives the drink to some other random woman so that she is the one who gets assaulted instead. And I'm like, I don't...
Oh, my God.
This isn't a good thing, movie. This is still a bad thing.
The message of this movie is get your friends drugged instead of you.
And I was like, Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, Dr. Zarkov is getting his mind wiped, except he isn't, because he's thinking random stuff during the wiping process.
He's thinking of Shakespeare and philosophy and algorithms, which manage to keep his mind intact while we see flashback images of his life and also reels from Hitler's speeches.
Yes, which Dr. Doom goes, oh, I like that guy.
I think Zarkov was a big fan, question mark? Don't know. It's odd that that popped up. I love that, yeah, Dr. Doom, he's like, oh, yeah, that Hitler guy, he seemed like he had good ideas. For the, like, 2 milliseconds we get a flashback of that. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about, movie? Shut up.
Aura takes Flash to the Ewok village to meet Timothy Dalton.
She wants to take Flash.
It's the Ewok village, and they watch the Robin Hood men.
The Lost Boys.
They do an initiation where you get stung by a turtle scorpion.
Oh no! The idea is you're trying not to get stung by it.
If you get stung by it, they allow you to do the chickeny way out, and they execute you instead of suffering.
And she's like, Timothy Dalton, here's Flash Gordon, you gotta keep him safe. And then Timothy Dalton's like, I knew you were up to something, but I wouldn't have guessed it was necrophilia.
Whoa.
So he knows that she straddled him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows. He knows she's such a horn dog.
He's like, I can smell it as soon as the ship landed.
You've been with another man.
Their initiation ceremony with the weird scorpion thing is literally stick your hand in a box with a scorpion and hope it doesn't sting you.
It's Dune.
Yeah, it's literally just like, does the scorpion get annoyed? Yes or no? It's not even like, there's no like...
Well, the scorpion's meant to tell if you're courageous or something, I think.
Yeah, exactly, right? So the scorpion is the judge? Is it psychic? Like, what? Where's the credentials of this scorpion? I want to know, like... What work the scorpion went into to show its prowess at judging courage. That's all I want to know, you know?
I've just realized what it is. It's like that creature from Rogue One that, what's his name?
Javier Bardem. No.
No, you know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. The guy who made the weird acting choices.
Yeah.
Yes. Kipali. It's the equivalent of that, pretty much. Except that's a memory thing, but still.
Yeah. Anyway, Flash is lowered into a swamp and then eventually taken back up, and then he's made to do the initiation thing, but he
Forrest Whitaker. Sorry, just came to
Forrest Whitaker, of course. yeah. But Flash doesn't get stung, which means he's worthy, but then Timothy Dalton's like, I'm still going to chase you through Endor.
Exactly.
I did like the scene where they're like doing the whole initiation thing because, of course, whoever enters there has to do it, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
But I really liked that he did a fake out where he pretends to be stung and it's like, kill me. I was not expecting it. I was like, oh, he's stung. Is he going to jock his way through the poison? Is that how this movie's going to go? No, it's where the movie first shows that he's not just a footballer and he's actually kind of smart because he tricks him into thinking he's stung where he's not. Which is quite good. I like that scene a lot. Anyway, yeah, the prince and him are fighting.
They're fighting. Meanwhile,
he's mad at him.
Aura's been captured randomly off screen and she's been whipped. And I was like, we really are in the 80s. Here we go.
Yep.
That's all I've got to mention there. Back to the chase.
Well, I like later on where he's like, it was weird torturing her. She kind of enjoyed it. Oh, yeah, of course. It's like, oh my God, movie.
It did look a bit brutal, frankly. But yeah, the tone of it wasn't quite going along with how brutal the whipping actually is. But
yeah. Hey, we're going to get some more whipping later. We get some men whipping. Ooh.
So we get this long chase through Endor / the swamp area of Princess Bride. We get a long chase through that whole sequence. While we were in this sequence, I was watching this movie with my partner, and I got a couple notes here from us, because she was like, Flash Gordon in this movie, the actor, looks like an AI-generated person. And then I said, that's true. true.
Oh.
Except yeah? I think he looks like an AI-generated Paul brother. Ooh. Like, if you were like, hey, AI, generate an image of Logan and Jake Paul's third brother, and that's...
I would just like to extend my apologies to Sam J. Jones.
Yeah.
That's really harsh.
Absolutely. No one deserves this treatment. This is brutal.
I think it was all of the, like, they put so much, like, body glitter and, like, yes. Vaseline
yeah,
on him.
Yeah,
made him look... fake, especially during this sequence, because the lighting was so awful.
a lot of AI art is very shiny.
Yeah.
And he was very shiny. So I see that. I see that now.
He lands in some quicksand, but gets out of there pretty quickly. A giant, like...
Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, like, creature thing grabs him. That was the first moment in the movie where we get some gross visuals. Because after this point onwards, we get some, like, a lot of weird gore.
I don't know, Ming trying to seduce someone's pretty gross.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah. I did see when he, like, got stuck in the, like, bog that he was, like, getting covered in dirt and stuff, and I was like, ah, pretty boy isn't so pretty anymore.
Oh, no. The stakes have been raised.
Yeah, I know. And then the prince comes over to kill him, shoots the plant thing eating him, which saves him,
yeah.
And then gets attacked by the hawk people.
Mm.
Yeah, gets the gun shot out of his hand. That was a pretty good little stunt. It was quick, but I like the way it worked.
It was good.
I don't know why the prince just didn't let him get eaten by the plant.
He wanted to be the one. That's why. There's an ego involved.
Yeah, he wanted the killing blow.
And randomly, Zarkov and Dale are also with the Hawkmen because they escaped the castle or whatever. We get Dalton versus Flash on an arena platform.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
The prince is like, Article 17 of Ming's law or whatever. And he's like, I want to challenge someone for my freedom. I challenge the random Earth person so I can kill him. Fuck him.
It was pretty good.
I did love Brian Blessed's face during this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
just the wide
yeah.
eyes. And
oh, dude, he's so good. Honestly, my favorite character in the film. Because whenever he's on screen, I'm like, yeah, he's like acting like a king. He's like, yeah. I obviously want to kill Ming, he's a piece of shit, but if I give you guys over, it proves my loyalty, and then we have more time to figure out how to kill him, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, he's evil, but he's evil for a good reason, right?
Dalton almost falls off the platform.
When they fight with they're whipping each other, and then he goes to fall off, and he's like, oh no, I'm gonna die.
But Flash saves him.
God, what a man.
Flash saves him!
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I think that Flash guy, he's kind of a hero.
And then Darth Vader shows up and Darth Vader's like, I'm the bad guy. And the Flash is like, I'm going to squash your face so your eyes and tongue pop out. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
That is the best death scene ever. He literally football tackles him into some spikes.
Oh, yeah. I love the platform they were on. It keeps, they up the scale every time. First, it starts moving and tipping, so you might fall into the nebula, essentially. And then the spikes start coming out at various intervals on part of it.
Yeah, the king, he's just having a great time. He's got his weird iPad thing with buttons on it. He's mm-hmm. making them dance around. He's just having a grand old time, laughing about.
It's great.
And then, yeah, with Darth Vader / Doctor Doom's death, all the Hawk people are like, oh shit, you've killed him? We're going to be blown the fuck up. We're leaving. We're out. Everyone leaves. They don't give a shit about the prisoners anymore. They just fucking peace out. They fly away.
That's right. They all leave. And Flash is like, I'm staying here. I'm going down with the city. And then he like, I was like, oh wait, no, actually I'll die. So I'm gonna leave. But everyone can think that I'm dead again.
Ming offers him to be like ruler of Earth or something.
Yes.
No, Luke, I am your father. We could conquer the galaxy together.
Yeah, because he's like, hey, actually, Flash, you're kind of a great hero. I want you to work for me.
Mm. You're talented.
But then Flash is like, no, I will never let Earth be slaves. I would rather them all be dead.
They could die free. Hashtag America.
Bold statement to take, Flash. That was I would rather be a slave rather than dead, to be honest. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Okay. Interesting take.
Well, currently we're getting hit by the hurricanes and earthquakes right now, so I'm pretty sure we're being attacked.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw it out there to any, you know, galactic dictators that I'll be a slave, whatever, you know?
The words of the individual hosts of this podcast do not represent all hosts of the podcast.
Look, I'm pretty sure I've got a good chance of being a slave for some sexy princess, right? So, you know.
Sure.
My chances are good, right?
And then it's wedding time. Ming is marrying Dale. We get Queen. They do their rendition of Here Comes the Bride.
Yeah, except it's rock.
I could just see Brian May playing that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very silly.
In fact, I don't know why they didn't get them in that scene.
I was thinking that while watching it. I was like, why aren't they here? They should be on the screen.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
I love that they're doing this, like, silly, like, mandatory wedding thing where, like, everyone has to be joyous. Like, they have these planes in the background, these ships that have, like, banners behind them. It's like, everybody will be merry and rejoice on pain of death.
Yeah, it's like the guy who holds up the sign, applause.
Yeah, exactly. Applause. Yeah. On pain of death.
And then I love the way the security team see the ship coming and see the Hawkmen coming with flash, and they're like, just fire all the guns repeatedly. And then one of them says, we're just firing the guns to simulate fireworks in celebration of the royal wedding.
Yes, it's a salute to the royal wedding. Exactly. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that was good. We got an action scene where Flash takes over like a random spaceship. That was a really solid action scene. I really enjoyed that.
That was. It was good.
That was great. He's now teamed up with the Hawk men because they've decided, because when they left, they were like, oh man, we shouldn't have left Flash. He's such a cool dude and we love him a lot. Man, you know what? We regret our decision. Oh my God, he's alive? Let's team up with him and we will actually go and fight Ming.
Gordon's alive?
Dive!
And then Flash, he takes over that ship and he, you know, he does an Anakin Skywalker. He flies it straight into the castle and he skewers Ming.
Another happy landing.
Yeah. I loved all this scene. It was very good. I love the Flash theme playing as he's diving this plane into the castle. It's like, oh my God, this is awesome.
It's pretty cool. I think during this sequence, we also get Timothy Dalton. He like pulls the glasses out of one of the random like robot people and we see that they have no eyes. That was fun.
Yeah. We have Robin Hood and Zarkov. They're in the security area, and they take out the security lady, who melts into a puddle like the Wicked Witch of the West.
She does. Oh, yeah. That was very funny.
Which was, I noted, was very funny.
Yeah.
And then, I think Zarkov, he deactivates the shield just in time for Flash to crash into the palace and skewer Ming, which was very good.
But we don't get a Flash versus Ming fist fight. No time for that, because Ming, just like the Mandarin, he turns on one of his rings and then he goes inside it.
Yeah.
He goes inside the ring, or he teleports to a different planet, or he just kind of goes invisible. I don't know what's happening here, but he's gone.
I presume he did that to like save himself because he got skewered by the plane, right? So he knows he's dying.
Yeah.
So he's like, he activates like the stasis bit of his ring to like stasis himself.
Mm-hmm.
To save himself, and we see at the end of the movie someone takes that ring away. It's like, ooh, maybe he'll come back. Yeah, you know.
I just saw that at the end of the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who.
That's true. That maybe it was an homage. I don't know.
Yeah.
True.
And then Timothy Dalton, he's going to marry Aura. They're going to rule together, everyone, all the factions in peace.
Yeah.
And all of the humans are like, I don't know how we're going to get to Earth, but that's the sequel, I guess.
We're going to leave. I'm a New York girl. This isn't my scene. It's too quiet here.
They have the equivalent of the throne room scene from A New Hope as well.
Yeah,
true. Very true.
That's true.
Except, to be honest, the music's better in that scene in Star Wars.
They still don't give an award to Chewbacca.
I know.
But they spell out, thanks, Flash, in Hawkman in the sky.
I actually loved that. That was amazing.
That was great. That was great.
And then it ends with, ooh, someone randomly picks up Ming's ring and we hear the laugh and it says, the end?
Question mark. Whoa, sequel bait.
Mm-hmm.
Sequel. And that is the movie.
Yeah.
That is the movie.
Yeah, that is Flash.
Cool.
It is interesting that we never got a sequel to this because it did pretty well.
I was going to say, is there a sequel to this? Why isn't there a sequel to this? I thought this was pretty big.
This is the last Flash Gordon thing I think we got until there was a random TV show.
2007, wasn't
it? 2007. Yeah. There was that TV show that got cancelled real quick.
Yeah, because it's 2007. Who gives a shit about Flash Gordon now, you know?
Exactly.
Also, the writer's strike was happening at that point, too.
Well, that too.
Not the most current one.
And, I mean, we'll talk about it in the remake section, but yeah, we talked about it in the last Flash Gordon review we did as well, but Matthew Vaughn was going to direct it, then the guy who directed Overlord was going to direct a remake, but now it's Taika Waititi who was doing an animated version, but is now doing a live-action version. I don't know, I've got no idea what's going on.
Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, in terms of directors for a remake, I would have said Taika or James Gunn.
Mm. Yeah, I think James Gunn is pretty excellent.
I have liked a lot of Taika's things. Recently, he's been going a little bit crazy. He's going to be a little... it's gotten to his head, you know. I think all this Hollywoodness, you know. But, like, he's done a lot of great stuff in the past. So, fingers crossed, maybe.
That's right. Well, apparently his latest movie isn't too bad. I have not seen it yet, though.
Hopefully it has more screaming goats in it.
Yeah, that's my favorite meme from 2005.
Yeah, oh my God.
I liked Love and Thunder, just so you know.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So what mountain were the stones in the walls of this specific monastery mined from exactly?
Where can my character take a dump?
What's the governmental structure of every town in this entire
Which magic using class is, like, the most attractive?
How do these people know how to make tunnels under their town when all they do is farm?
Why does the genie always refuse to make people fall in love with me? Like,
if
who hurts
poison
me?
Rules are the same for every player race, does that mean they all have
can
the
my
same
character
digestive
have a pet?
System?
Ooh, can that pet have a pet?
Are your players asking too many questions? Do you really know how your world works? Don't you wish there was a podcast that made this whole thing easier? Come on over to Dungeon Deep Dive, your favourite fantasy world-building podcast. Whether it's tabletop RPGs or creative writing, we do the research so you don't have to. Find us on your podcatcher of choice or on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram on @DungeonDeepDive.
That's Flash Gordon. That's the movie. Pretty fun. Yeah, like plot wise, it's interesting because it's like medieval sci-fi.
Mm.
Yeah,
but like not in the way that Star Wars is made. Yes, like Star Wars is like samurai sci-fi.
Yes,
exactly. And I wanted to bring this up because at one point during our podcast, I've said I wanted some more sword battles in space with some like laser fire going around and just having some guys do some sword battles. And you guys were like, that's just Star Wars, you idiot, you fucking dumbass, you piece of shit.
Well, prove me wrong. I didn't say those last few words, by the way, but prove me wrong.
Yeah. This one actually had it when they were fighting on the ship. People are using just basic ass fucking swords because in Star Wars, it's fucking monks with wizard powers wielding laser swords that can deflect fucking lasers. It's like, it's not the same as a sword battle, you know?
That's
where
true.
Where two guys just have swords for some fucking reason in a laser battle. And this movie scratched that itch. So I'm going to say,
that's true.
Big thumbs up from me for that.
I think as well, like Flash Gordon as a character, it's so interesting, like, because so many people love Flash Gordon. It's so interesting watching the serial and then now the movie and being like, but why do people love Flash Gordon? It can't be because of the character Flash Gordon, because,
no.
Again, just like the serial, I don't like this character. He's a boring character. He's bland. He's dull. I don't care about him.
He's a classic Harry Potter sort of character where he's just like kind of a blank slate-ish.
Yeah.
So you can project yourself onto him sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, Harry's got so much more backstory because he had so many more movies, obviously. But
well, that's true.
Well, if you read the comics of Flash Gordon, actually, you find out he was actually not always a quarterback. Whoa!
Oh my god, he used to be a chess nerd until he went to the gym a bunch of times.
Yeah, he was actually a nerd the entire time.
Oh my god. Yeah, but it's like a lot of people are like, oh, I don't like Captain America because he's just a boring American guy. Oh, I don't like Superman because there's no character there, and I'm like, but compared to Flash Gordon, those guys feel like they're written by fucking Shakespeare. Yeah. Like, there's so much more depth in them.
That's it.
Compared to this guy. So yeah, as we move over to remakes, I would like to make a movie that has a bit of depth to Flash Gordon. Bring in a little bit of depth to him.
Yeah.
I reckon just a little bit, just a tiny bit.
Absolutely. Well, this movie also had the same thing where within the first like 5 minutes of the film, we have left Earth and we are traveling towards the, that happened in the 4-hour reel as well. Like the first episode, it's in within like the first 2 minutes, we're in space, like hurtling towards this thing. Like we don't spend any time on Earth whatsoever.
Exactly. So Reese, you mentioned Taika Waititi or James Gunn. Seeing as Taika Waititi is already making a Flash Gordon movie, do you want to go with James Gunn then?
Yeah, just to keep it hypothetical.
Absolutely. Well, no. We're going to make this movie.
Okay.
All right? We're going to make this movie. We're going to make it in competition with the other movie. We're going to have two Flash Gordons out.
All right, well, I'll just, because I know he's got some spare time, I'll just get James on the phone after this.
Yeah.
He's definitely not busy planning an entire universe or anything.
Yeah.
No. He's not currently filming a Superman film. No, not at all.
No.
All right, yeah, so James Gunn?
A James Gunn Flash Gordon movie. Now, we have already remade this, as I mentioned. I think we had Chris Evans as Flash Gordon. It was directed by Daniels.
But he can act.
Yeah.
And he can actually act. So we can't use anyone from that movie that we've already made.
Well, clearly that was a mistake, getting an actor for the main role. So we need to change that.
Logan Paul.
No.
Oh, wait.
No. Reese, seeing as Zach and I have already recast Flash Gordon, who are your first picks for most of these characters?
Whenever I'm presented with somebody with a good jawline, blonde hair, and doesn't have to do much, I always think of Glenn Powell.
Mm.
He's got the same look, I reckon. So for Flash, I'd say Glenn Powell.
That's not okay. Bad. That's
I'm going to go with the idea I mentioned earlier for Ming and cast someone whose name is in real life Ming, and cast Ming-Na Wen, do a bit of a gender swap, because that could be quite fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've actually seen her play a villain, at least in a while, so that'd be pretty cool.
No, I mean, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is she a villain in Street Fighter? No, I think she's one of the main characters in Street Fighter. I think she's Chun-Li or something.
I was going to mention for Flash Gordon, we should do like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, you know.
Tom. Where, yeah. Who's Taylor Swift's boyfriend?
Yeah.
Exactly. I was thinking about that the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Just get some fucking random football person.
And then we'll get Taylor to do the sound.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh,
all
my
right,
God. Boom. Easy clap.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This guy does not look like Flash Gordon at all.
No, he doesn't. That's a problem. I went based on looks. I was being shallow. I think we keep Brian Blessed because he's still around and he's still acting and he's still got that great voice. So we keep Brian Blessed. He comes back as a reference to his previous take on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have to get him in. Absolutely. Because he's a bit older, we could have him more as like a wise king sort of thing. You know?
Oh, yes, yeah, maybe we can. Yeah.
Have him more grand, you know. That's what I'm looking for.
Just because I love him, I want to cheat and get Timothy Dalton back, but I don't know how many times we could do that.
Yeah.
But I want him back because he's so good.
I reckon he could be. I reckon like we, the guy who plays Flash could play like Flash's dad. We could do like speaking of Flash, we could do the Flash TV show where they got the actor from the 90s to play Barry Allen's dad. Yeah.
Yeah, we could
do that. That's pretty good. I like that.
And we should do a bit more time on Earth so we could see his dad.
I think we should do a bunch more with Dale as well, who I do have a pick for, but I am interested to see what you think first, Reese.
Well, I haven't thought of anyone yet. I was kind of looking at the film, looking at the sorts of things that she did, trying to pick someone, but you give your suggestion and we'll see.
My pick was Jane Levy from Don't Breathe, Evil Dead. She's in Shameless a lot.
Oh, yeah,
pretty good actor, hasn't done a whole lot, which is kind of the vibe that I'm kind of want for this cast.
Yeah.
People who, like, have done stuff, but they're not, like, big names, you know?
I like her. That's definitely a good pick.
I could see that.
And my pick for Ming was Ali Wong, but I think I prefer Ming Na Wen.
Because
I was like, Ali Wong's kind of funny. Joke it up a bit. But I think Ming Na Wen is probably the...
I figured out who Timothy Dalton could play. We don't have to show him. He could play Dr. Doom. He doesn't have to show his face, though.
Yeah. No, we do that, but we do a Deadpool where he takes off the mask and it's just a different actor. You know, it's just like...
That's pretty good. I like that.
Who can play the Prince Baron then?
Prince Baron.
Timothy's part.
I've been thinking about all the other characters, not this one.
Because, let's just be honest, he was so good in this.
Oh, yeah. He was really good.
Timothy Dalton's just amazing.
I'm going to say Dustin Hoffman. Who is way too old for this role.
That's way too old. What are you doing?
He was the Captain Hook in the live action.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Shuri Gatwa could do it.
Yes! Oh my god, yes.
Shuri Gatwa is Prince Baron. It's kind of fun.
Who could be Zarkov?
I was thinking Mark Maron as Zarkov.
Oh my god, yes! As long as we let him swear the way he does.
True. Mark Maron hasn't done much since Glow got cancelled, and he's very funny, and I don't listen to his podcast. I just want to watch him in movies and stuff, so I would like to put Mark Maron in this.
I could see that. I'm going with that. Princess Aurora?
My first go was Leigh Sardo, who is in Dune, but I think she's a bit too old for Shuri Gatwa to be the love interest.
Maybe. What sort of story are we going for? And is it going to be comedy or is it going to be serious?
It's James Gunn, so I reckon it'll be like Guardians-ish.
Yeah. We got to Marvelify it as much as possible. That's going really well at the moment. All the Marvel movies, I think they're doing really well. So let's capitalize on that.
Yeah.
It's serious characters going around, then occasional silliness happening, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good fun ride. I want Chris Pratt to be in the, like, palace at some point, just as one of the races.
He's the guy who gets shot at the start.
Yeah. He's the one that tries to kill Ming and then just gets murdered, yeah.
I'll tell you what, his planet is a planet of Chris's.
Yeah.
And we put all the other Hollywood Chris's in there.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's good. I like
There's
that.
There's a whole bunch of Chris's. Yeah, that's great.
So you get your Hemsworth, your Pine, your...
Yeah, that's good.
Although not Evans, because he said we can't put Evans in it because he was your choice.
Yeah, I'd want to do is change, like, so the Chris's, they are all the lion people.
They're the lion people. Yeah.
And one of the random other ones is the dolphin people.
Yeah, we need dolphin people in here.
Yeah, I think they should visit the dolphin people and the Chris planet and recruit them along with the Hawkmen to attack.
And Taylor Swift does the music.
Yeah.
She definitely decided that.
All right, and that is the entire episode. Thank you so much for listening to Oldie Body Goodie once again. Reese Pardon, thank you so much for coming back on.
No worries.
You are on all of the apps and things, and you do another podcast.
What?
I do. I do another podcast. Strangely, with someone who sounds like one of the hosts of this show.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Is that Greg from Kegel and Greg?
Sounds like him.
Similar.
We do Aussie Nerds Talk stuff, and it comes out when we've got the time to record it.
That's right.
Which, because the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on, we won't for a month. So,
my goodness, I haven't had a day off in 2 months, so I haven't had time to record that show yet.
Woo!
But it'll be fun. All of the best of 2023 TVs and movie episodes are out right now, though, so go check those out. They're good fun.
Yeah, that's four episodes, because we talked for 3 hours each episode.
That's right.
Thanks, Sando. Thanks, Adam.
That was a big fun time. Thanks, Reese, for editing. Links are
That's
in the
okay.
episode description.
I just have a slight twitch in my eye. That's all.
We are Oldie Buddy Goody. We're on everything. You We thank everyone who leaves us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, if you can. Drop a comment on YouTube saying how you wish that we just uploaded the movie. If you enjoyed the show, best way to help us out is just to tell a friend. Is always a good way to do it. Be like, hey, friend, Flash Gordon's pretty cool. And your friend will be like, fucking nerd. And then probably punch you.
Yeah.
And then you will put on the podcast and they'll be like, oh, wait, but these guys are self-aware about it. So it's fine.
So it's funny. It's actually good again. They've turned it around.
We are also on patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodiepod, where you can get ad-free episodes and early episodes, sometimes when I edit them in time to upload them early. And you can also get bonus episodes as well for a slightly higher tier. Right now is our episode on Madam Web. You can grab that if you want.
Which was great. The movie, I mean, not the episode. The episode was terrible.
Sure, for sure, for sure. And there are links to all that in the episode description. But Zach, whose turn is it to pick the next one?
I think it's yours. Yeah. I don't know why you're asking me. You clearly know the situation that's going on here. Yeah.
I do. I've got the order of picking right in front of me.
Yeah.
Ha-ha. 1981. And Zach, straight off the bat, I could pick Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Whoa, Pog. I just recently watched the new Indiana Jones movie, and it was okay.
It's fine. It's okay.
It's not bad. It actually has good character development for the other characters other than Indiana Jones, but it's still not as good as the old ones because obviously.
Yeah.
But why would we do that when we can do Time Bandits?
Oh!
Time Bandits!
Time Bandits! They're traveling through time.
Yeah!
I've never seen Time Bandits, and I always want to, because Zach always talks about it.
Yeah, I had it on VHS/DVD, so I have watched it a whole bunch. And by me, I mean my parents had it, and they made me watch it a whole bunch. And it was good. I love it.
But Zach, we could do Evil Dead. I already uploaded a review of that from my Patreon in January.
What about Escape from New York?
Oh, I love Escape. Wait, is that the first one or is that the second one? I think
one of them's New York, one's LA, isn't it?
Escape from New York is the good one. Yeah, that's the good one. I've always wanted to watch Escape from New York. It looks dumb and fun. Oh, but what about The Howling, the classic werewolf movie The Howling, and I believe The Howling 3 is set in the Outback, and I want to watch that one.
Alright. Speaking of the Outback, Mad Max 2.
Oh!
That's pretty much Australia.
That's the best one after Fury Road.
What about the loony Bugs Bunny movie?
What?
It's called the loony Bugs Bunny movie. It must be loony.
That sounds pretty fun, Zach, but no, I'm picking something a little bit out of left field.
Oh, okay.
Because, Zach, we just did Flash Gordon again, which was a throwback to last year, where we did the Flash Gordon serial. And, you know, thinking of last year, I'm kind of nostalgic for our season last year that we never put out because it was all a dream in my head.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of various movies that came out during the 20s to the 60s, one franchise in particular, you know, Flash Gordon had a lot of movies, but what had more movies, Zach? What was one franchise that kept popping up last year in our options?
Police Academy?
No, not Police Academy.
I don't know. I'm so confused. What can you possibly be talking about?
Well, there was a certain man who swings from vines, was raised by the apes.
Donald Trump?
No, Tarzan, you fool!
Oh, Tarzan! Tarzan! Whoa! Oh, wait, you want to do a Tarzan movie?
That's right, from 1981, I want to do the Tarzan reboot, Tarzan the Ape Man.
But we did a Tarzan movie and it was fucking terrible.
I know, maybe this one will be good though.
Oh no, Sandro, what are you doing? This has 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
This movie looks...
What are you doing?
This movie looks incredibly horny. I can't wait to do it. Tarzan the Ape Man.
No, why?
Next week, Tarzan the Ape Man. You're welcome.
I do not feel welcome, and I feel like you're not going to feel welcome after we watch this stupid movie. God damn it.
All right, well, that's the whole episode, though. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to teleport Zach into the next year before he has a chance to rebel against me.
What about some sort of convoluted way for you to offer me to go have a nap, but then you fake out of it? Don't you do that at the end?
That sounds contrived and convoluted and like it will get annoying if we do that at the end of every episode.
Yeah, so why aren't we doing that?
Maybe we can do it. Hey, Reese, do you reckon that I should let Zach have a rest before we immediately go to record the next episode?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. You got to catch up, keep the energy up, and he's got to recuperate.
Yeah.
All right, Zach. Have a flash nap.
What? What is a flash nap?
It's where you have a nap, but it's in a flash.
How long is a flash?
It's already gone. Let's go into the future!
No! Ah!